get it and flip it, I did it off the nine. Stay in the kitchen, I'm never off of mine. And now I'm Kemp in his prime. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. Ball Don't Lie, episode 148, man. I want to wish y'all a happy white people line on Martin Luther King Day weekend. It's you know, I applaud the day. Well, I don't work for the white man anymore, but when I did work for the white man, I would always take this day off. Like, Amazon never gave us this day off, by the way. I had to use one of my off days to get these days off, and I always would use that shit. But now I work for the black man. That black man just happens to be named Scott Lewis. So I'm still working on this holiday to give y'all content. But as usual, man, your host Scott, you know to follow me on Twitter and Instagram at BarbChairScott. You know, you can check me out on HMB TV for I'm Not Gonna Hold You. Playoff preview is out right now. And by the time you're hearing this, I'm 5-0 in my predictions. I might be 6-0 by the end of the night. At worst, I'll be 5-1. Listen to your boy. And then we got my co-host, Dante, man. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, at October Zonte, man. Fresh from a little West Coast rendezvous, man. How was your weekend?
Yeah, real quick, in and out. One of the homies got engaged this weekend. Shout out to my boy, Sammy. That shit was real fun. So I had to pop out there real quick. But, you know, like you said, enjoying this MLK holiday. You know, white people lie to y'all and tell y'all this is a day of service. You know, like, take this to yourself, my nigga. Like, is this one of those days where you, as a black person, can really just kick back and relax, and then, like you said, reflect on the legacy of Martin Luther King and everything he gave this country. And so, I don't really consider this work, G. So we love doing this. So
happy to be back. I definitely love doing this. Definitely love talking. Who's with y'all, man? I see you had your Long Beach fit on. I was like, this nigga is agreeing with the locals.
I got a lot of love for the West Coast, bro. So
was y'all in Santa Monica?
Yeah, we was in Santa Monica.
Oh, man, I miss Santa Monica. I miss working in Santa Monica. That air in Santa Monica is different.
Yeah, it just feels different.
It just feels different.
It like the rain held off. Like, yeah, thought
it was gonna rain. even when it's fucking, you know, gloomy out in fucking Santa Monica, it still looks good.
Yeah,
like, that's the one thing I miss about missing in Santa Monica. There's a fucking taco place. I wish I could remember the fucking name of it. Me and Pav went. It's like by the Santa Monica Pier. They got one of the best happy hours I've been to. They got like $5 shots in them. I wish I could find a name. Anyway, I'm gonna Google that shit and let you know the name. But one thing I don't like about Santa Monica, though, the food trucks are OD expensive.
Yeah.
OD expensive. Now, when I first moved out here, that was like 8 years ago, there was this thing called First Fridays. First Friday of each month, you go to Santa Monica. In Santa Monica, they had like this area and where all the food trucks would just be posted up.
Yeah,
and you just hit all them shits. They had music, they had a couple bars over there, and we would hit that shit up like every fucking first Friday, like for my first 6 months of the year, man. So, long story short, I want to move to Santa Monica when I get a little more disposable income. And for me to do that, you should subscribe to the Patreon. This is a nice little cheap plug. Patreon.com/barbershairnet. Network. We got a lot of good things coming. By the way, for everybody who wanted to know what happened to Summer Sessions, blame Pavi and blame our brother. Me and Damien were ready. We're long on the Zoom, ready to give y'all niggas content. This nigga Pavi was taking all day from recording Hoops and Brews. My brother fell asleep at 9 p.m. on a Thursday. So blame them niggas. But we will be back this week. Me and Dante are going to be breaking down Euphoria for Cinema with the Guys. So my brother doesn't watch that show. So look out for that. But y'all not here for that. Y'all here to talk about basketball. Let's talk about basketball, man. We are officially at the halfway point of the NBA season. You know, second ballot returns for the All-Star game just came back. That's how you know you're really in the second half of the season. And one thing I love about the NFL having a long season this week is we get the All-Star game a week after the Super Bowl. It's perfect. Yeah. It's perfect. Yeah. Perfect transition. The trade deadline is February 10th this year. That's before the All-Star game, which is also great. So a lot of good sports things going on. But it was not a great week for NBA players. A lot of injuries this week. Of course, us Bulls fans, we had our own scare with Zach LaVine earlier this week. Nigga, I was hyperventilating. I was having Derrick Rose flashbacks. Anytime you see non-contact knee and Bulls guard, I get PTSD.
Yeah, and the only reason, like, I didn't panic – partially because I was faded when I saw it happen. But the main reason I didn't panic is because it wasn't one of those non-contact injuries where he like collapsed. Yeah. It's just like he felt something wasn't right. He said, hold on, let me not risk this, and just walked off. So when I saw that, I'm like, okay, I'm hopeful.
But when it happened, I still was panicking. I was like, this is a nigga who played a whole quarter on a torn ACL when he was in Minnesota. So yeah. I wasn't, but when Casey explained it later, like Casey and Woj helped get me off the ledge. And when Casey said that he was already dealing with soreness in it, and then shout out to one of the followers on Twitter, I follow Bulls J on Twitter. He was at the game and he said he noticed that Zach wasn't in warmups with the team. So then I was like, okay, he probably had soreness. Then he might have, you know, felt how it moved a little bit. Yeah. He's like, nah, I don't want to risk this.
And I don't know if you remember, not to cut you off, but I don't know if you remember, it was earlier in the season. It was a play where it looked like he just tweaked his knee. Like
I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, and like we was like, oh, what the fuck? But he just played through it. He just walked it off. So like, yeah, so I could see like when they said, you know, he's had that soreness in the knee. Because I believe, you know, that's the knee way towards ACL, right?
And Zach, listen to me. If you listen to this podcast, you probably don't. But if somebody, I was never say never because Eddie Jackson listens to 79th and Hallis.
You never know.
And
never
I'm not going to hold you. He kind of wanted to fade me for what I said about him. But I apologize, Eddie, multiple times. You had a better season at the time than why. It's all love. But Zach, if you're hearing this, stop playing on injuries, bro. Your health matters for the playoffs, bro. If you're getting swelling in the knee, I don't care what knee it is, your guard, your slasher, you need to protect your knees, especially the knee that you had fucking ACL injury. Not only the playoffs, for you personally, as Kendall Gill always says, cash rules everything around me, Kareem get the money. You are in a contract year, my nigga. Do not fuck up your bag and do not fuck up this team's playoff chances. Rest that knee if you've got swelling. And I know they said that he's not going to be out a significant amount of time. They're going to reevaluate him after the end of this week. If you got to sit this nigga 2 or 3 weeks, do what you got to do. As we can see in the East, and we'll get to the other injuries in a second, this is a situation where, you know, nothing is going to be like, it's going to be up and down in top four. So it's not like we have to fucking, you know, rush you to get there. So I want him to, you know, take it slow.
Yeah, no, I agree. You certainly don't hope for injuries for anybody, but with this latest ring of injuries happening to the top contenders, it's going to be a lot of, you know, I'm not going to say bad basketball, but, you know, people going to have to really stay afloat, especially Brooklyn, because KD's been doing so much of the heavy lifting for them.
Yeah.
And so for him to be out 4 to 6 weeks, you know, thankfully it's just a sprain, but like that was a scary one.
It was super scary, man. But the other one with Kevin Durant, with this one was a lot more scary.
Yeah.
Because not only does KD have an ACL tear, KD's got an Achilles. Everything in that knee was torn. And even last year when he came back, he missed about, 2 months?
Yeah.
Like, he missed about 2 months. And the unfortunate thing here for the Nets, and Pav said it last week on the pod, they're a concept more than they are an actual team.
Yeah.
They're a concept more than they are an actual team. And that's just kind of the weird part about it. Like, every time they put 2 steps forward, they get 3 steps back. You know, they come to Chicago, beat the fuck out of us. And we'll get to that in a minute. Beat our ass. They go to, they play, they rest KD the next day because it's a back-to-back. They get washed by OKC. We all know Kyrie's part-time player. And now KD, Bruce Brown tried to sell that foul and ended up landing into the franchise. And it didn't look good. Unlike Zach, he hobbled off. And now they're saying it's an MCL sprain. They say 4 to 6 weeks. With the MCL, look, it's six weeks minimum. Yeah. He ain't coming back in a month.
Oh, yeah, no, they and not only with the 6 weeks, they still didn't announce a return date. They just said it's 6 weeks and they're
reevaluate. So I'm guessing that's when they'll reevaluate. And that's the word you don't want to hear, reevaluate. That you don't want to hear that at all. So I'm worried about that. Now they have that. Now it's really just hard enough then now.
Yeah.
You know, they still got Joe Harris. He hasn't come back yet. LaMarcus Aldridge has been dealing with injuries. And Kyrie's part-time. So, like, what? How do you think the Nets can move on from this? Like, they're only a half game out of first place.
It makes you wonder, do they switch to the Houston Rockets hardened system? It's like, yo, it's your show. Just do what you got to do. Because, I mean, that's what you get 3 superstars for. Obviously, like you said, you want them all to play together. But at this point, if they put the numbers out there, I think they played 16% of the games. The possible games they've been eligible for, they played 16% of the games. for Brooklyn. So, you know, they haven't been there. They haven't been on the court. We haven't seen them. So at this point, you're gonna see what Steve Nash is made of. I know last week we joked about his lack of coaching ability.
He's a vibe curator.
Yeah, you know.
Steve Nash, yeah.
So right now, we're really gonna have to see what's up. Cause right now, like you said, you got James Harden and you got Kyrie every third day or some shit. Like,
And now we had our little Kyrie prediction at the beginning of the season. Do you think this nigga's gonna take the shot? Cause I James Harden said after they beat the Bulls, I'm gonna make him take the shot. Like, he was joking, but you could tell that nigga was dead ass serious.
Yeah.
Like, because obviously, and then, you know, they had a little thing that came up last week where they said that they could pay a fine. Then the NBA shot that shit down immediately. Adam Silver was like, fuck out of here.
You got the league. The league owners would have been furious if they let that happen.
Exactly.
You couldn't do that.
So I think eventually this nigga will take it. I think it's going to be super last minute. I think he's going to wait this out as long as possible to see if anything will change on the New York side. And as you see, it's really just a New York mandate.
Yeah.
And so that is what I'm interested to see. Because when the playoffs come, like, Harden's a free agent this year. The only one out of that big three who has a long-term contract is Kevin Durant. And honestly, in today's NBA, there's really no such thing as a long-term contract. If a superstar wants out, a superstar can get the fuck out. So it's really starting to become, when is Brooklyn actually going to be the team that we expected to be healthy? Like you said a couple minutes ago, they only played 16 games together. And they're 13-3 in those games. But they've only played 16 games together. So it's like, what's going to happen? So I think when we get closer to April, I think he eventually will take the shot. Now, it's Kyrie. Kyrie can say, fuck y'all, and I'm not going to do it. Nothing would shock me when it comes to this nigga. But I do think just because of his teammates, and fuck how you know, whether if you're on our side, aka the side of people who are smart, or you on the dumbass side, it really, take all that to the side. This is about being there for your team. And to me, not doing this is being selfish to your team. So I'm really, really trying to, I'm really interested to see how that's going to go over these next couple weeks to see whether he's going to, you know, succumb or not. But
yeah. No, I think he's gonna take the shot for the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think he's not gonna take it for the regular season. But I think once the playoffs roll around and like seeding starts to fall into place, then you'll see him take the shot. Cause, you know, I think it takes a couple weeks, you know, to be fully vaccinated.
But all you gotta do is take one and you're able to play.
Oh, yeah. He's saving it for the playoffs.
You know how
to end. If that's the case, he'll fuck around doing it for the NBA finals.
Right. Exactly. Right.
He'll be that petty and hold out that long. And then once the finals come, like, all right,
nigga. They not gonna make the finals. That nigga's not playing.
Yeah, it's gonna be rough. Because that roster, you know.
And this is all still pre-trade deadline. We don't know who's gonna add. We don't know who the Bulls are gonna add. We don't know who the Bucks are gonna add. So all eyes on them, man. Let's talk about the KD's old team, Golden State Warriors. They're dealing with their own injury right now. The most scary out of them is Draymond. Draymond's missed the last couple. Now they're saying he's gonna miss the next 2 weeks because of a problem with the disc in his back. Now, anything that has anything to do with back and discs is super scary. And you gotta play that shit super careful, bro. Especially somebody whose game is really predicated on his energy and, you know, getting rebounds and things like that.
Yeah. And I just say, as a civilian that's had a back injury, like, I can only imagine trying to get up and play basketball. You know, like, his back injury is so bad, it was like, what, affecting like his calf or something like that? It was something crazy. But like, it was it goes down your whole body. So, bro, like, that's something that you really gotta take your time with. Cause if Draymond is out, that changes the championship aspirations.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, you could forget that. Like, even if Clay, you know, even if he round in the form, still not having Draymond as that linchpin would definitely hurt. So,
and Clay said that kind of himself on Thursday before the game against the Bucks, where he was getting interviewed by Chuck and Shaq and all them. And it was like, Chuck was like, I've seen you dribble more in this last week than I've seen you dribble your whole career. He said, well, that's because, you know, Draymond's not out there. And Draymond's out there, I get easier shots. I don't have to dribble more. So, yes, Draymond, this team's not going to win a championship without Draymond. I'm not too sure they can beat Milwaukee with Draymond. But without him, they definitely have no shot. And now you've got Steph is dealing with a hand injury. He missed last night's game against Minnesota where they got absolutely baptized. Cat and Anthony Edwards went crazy on them. And he's going to be out for the next couple games. They don't think it's nothing serious, but basically, what we're seeing across the league, I know a lot of Bulls fans were complaining. Me too. I'm not going to exclude myself from this. Oh, we got this We're in the dog days. We're in the dog days of the season. Like we were saying before we came on the air, this is the first full season we've had in since the 2019-2020 season. They've been bunching all these seasons together because of the pandemic, and that's not even including the playoffs. These dudes have played a lot of fucking basketball, and yeah. Now you're kind of feeling all of it.
Absolutely, and then you got to think about the guys who played in the Olympics. Zach played in the Olympics. I'm not sure. Did Stephen Dre play in the Olympics?
I think Draymond did, right? Draymond did. Steph didn't.
Yeah, so, you know, these guys, like you said, have been putting these miles on their bodies for a while. KD played in the Olympics.
Yep, KD
played. So yep. Even though his was more so of a, like you said, teammate fell into him. So that's like what echoes with AD. It's more freak shit.
Freak shit.
More than
that was an AD-ass injury.
Yeah, like just
that definitely was. By the way, We're not talking about the Lakers today. This is going to be the first podcast that we're not talking about. I'd have nothing to say about the Lakers.
Well, no. Well, I got to say something. I got to say one thing.
Okay,
I just saw the clip when Russ got mad at Aaron Gordon for locking him the fuck up. Like, what's going on out here, bro? Like, what are we doing? He got upset. I'm looking at the play. I had to run it back. Like, did he foul him? Like, no. He stripped you the first time. You tried to body him, and he's bigger than you. He just ate that shit. Like, what's going on?
I look, man. In my most skeptical, well, I guess we're breaking my. We're not talking about the Lakers rule. Here we go. in my most skeptical criticisms of the Lakers coming to the season. Because we said it in our offseason pod that we didn't think Russ was a fit. We didn't think this team was going to the championship. I didn't think these niggas was going to be this bad, though. Like, nigga, at this point, and remember I said like 2 weeks ago, oh, they're still making the top four. No, the fuck they not. That shit is dead. I understand the West is weak, but I was being very optimistic 2 weeks ago. Yeah. These niggas are a play-in team. Yeah, and like Pav said last week, yeah, right, they're getting beat by other play-in teams. Like Pav said. Would it really shock you if they lost to Minnesota in a play-in game? Don't let Kawhi or PG come. Well, Kawhi's coming back, you know, as you heard it here first. Actually, as you heard it a second. Chris Haynes said it first. I'm going to confirm it. Big Y is coming back. So even if PG doesn't come back, nigga, the Clippers can beat them niggas with Kawhi for sure. Now, I'm still not with Pav on the San Antonio thing. But you can sell me on them niggas losing to at least two or three play-in teams.
They get smacked on the regular.
They get smacked on. They're not even close.
They're getting smacked.
Yeah. These niggas was up like 10 against the Kings the other night. And De'Aaron Fox became fucking Isaiah Thomas. Detroit Isaiah Thomas, nigga. And just went nuts on these motherfuckers. And the worst part about it, there's nowhere for them to escape. What are they going to do? They can't trade nobody. Russ has – you couldn't trade Russ – to the Kings, and they might be the dumbest organization in basketball. His trade value is under. THT ain't go, like, there's literally no fix. What they're going to have to do, they're going to have to take the L this season, honestly. And when AD comes back, yeah, they'll be more competitive. But let's not sit up here and act like AD was playing well before he got hurt, because he wasn't. Like, so they'll be more competitive, but you got this Russ getting mad at Aaron Gordon. LeBron's on Twitter talking about, I apologize, Laker Nation. We're going to get better. No, you're not. It's over. It's a wrap, bro. It is a wrap. And I'm going to collect. I made a bet with my homie literally an hour after the Lakers got Russ. I'm like, the niggas not making the finals. He's like, put your money up. Okay. My guy. I ain't going to call your name out on the show, but I will be collecting sooner than I thought I would be. So anyway, yeah, that's all I got to say about the Lakers, man. Let's get into our team, our beloved Chicago Bulls. They are on a... Let's just say, not a good run right now. As we're recording this right now, they're actually losing to the Memphis Grizzlies 30-23. The fact that we have 23 points with 9 minutes left in the second is whatever. But this team is being ravaged by injuries. Zach is going to be out at least for the next week. Lonzo Ball has missed the second game with a knee injury. And they actually sent him back to Chicago to get looked at by a doctor. And then they'll determine the severity of that. They say he's been dealing with some swelling too. So that's an issue right there. Alex Caruso just got out of protocol today. He might play on Wednesday against the Cavaliers. They're trying to get his conditioning back up, but he's out of protocol. Javonte Green got called up. He's going to be playing with him and Caruso will be playing with the Windy City Bulls, but Billy Donovan said he's still a couple weeks away. He's not like fast-tracked like Caruso is. And, of course, we all know after that injury, Derrick Jones got hurt last week against the Nets, like one of the first three plays. I thought he tore his ACL. That looked terrible. Like, I was for sure he was cooked. Originally, they said 4 to 6 weeks. Then the Bulls confirmed it's going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. So I'll probably say he's probably going to be out to All-Star break. And they went out there, they lost to the fucking Nets by 30. Lost to the Warriors by 40. This is the Warriors without Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. These niggas was getting beat up by Kuminga and shit like that. And yeah, lost they got cooked. Lost by 40 points. And then got lost a game they just blew against Boston. They ended the game on an 8-0 run. Like, they gave an 8-0 run to Boston. My question to you is, has the team been exposed, or are people making too much of a big deal about this?
I wouldn't say exposed, because we already said that, like, the bar was still, you know, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, that these elite teams. And so between that and the amount of injuries they've suffered, I can't say they got exposed. Like, they've ran into these teams at the wrong time. You know, we talk about being, you know, now officially at the halfway point of the season, and you were the first team to get hit by COVID. And so even though you played through that, Lonzo Ball, you know, I'm seeing, you know, the knee soreness. Just think about all the games he played 40 minutes, you know, during that stretch when the people were out. So you have those things just piling on each other. And so I wouldn't say exposed yet. I think it's, you know, kind of bad timing that, you know, all of the national TV games happen to be when people are out, and now we get our ass smacked because, you know, some of these other teams, we were playing them before this. And even though we got beat pretty bad by the Warriors out in Oakland without Vooch. But, we've been a much more competitive ball club than this. So I wouldn't say exposed, though. I think it's just bad timing with all of the injuries.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. Like, I won't say that they got exposed, quote unquote. But I will say this is what I've been saying for the last couple of weeks. You know, even though, you know, everybody's been enjoying, you know, of course, the 9-game win streak and things of that nature. But I never thought this team was an actual, like, oh, this team has a legit chance to win a championship without multiple things happening to other teams. And that's fine. This is year one of this new roster. Now, have my expectations risen because they play? Of course. When I came into the season, I said 48 wins, top six seed. I don't care what happens after that. From their play, my expectations top four seed and win at least one playoff series. I think what we did see in these two games, and what I think we're going to see this Friday against Milwaukee, there's levels.
Oh, yeah.
There's levels. The Bulls are a good team. The Bulls are a team that can compete. And in a series against Milwaukee or Brooklyn, they're not going to get their ass kicked. These are going to be competitive series. And I think we'll take Milwaukee and Brooklyn maybe 6 or 7 games to beat the Bulls. And this is considering if Brooklyn has their full big three, which is, we don't know. If it's that, yes. But this is not a championship caliber team. So I do think there's levels to people who maybe were thinking too high. Where I'm saying, this is a superstar-driven league. Look at the last NBA championship that was won by a team that didn't have at least one superstar was the 2004 Detroit Pistons. That was almost 20 years ago. Every team that has won a championship has had at least one superstar. Most of them in today's era, you got to have multiple. You got to have one superstar surrounded by multiple all-stars. This is a team full of all-stars, which is good. But it's baby steps this. Now, we all got our eyes on Jokic. I'm loving every time Denver lose. I need them to continue to lose. That you get a guy like him, then that makes you championship contender. And I just want to say this about Vooch. I'm getting tired of Bulls fans making Vooch to be out the fucking scapegoat. Everybody got mad at Vooch because he missed that shot. Oh, he's Carlos Boozer. If Carlos Boozer even if Carlos Boozer even rebounded half as good as Vooch, we wouldn't hate that nigga the way we do. He's not him. We would have got out the doors kicked off us if he didn't have that game. He had 27, 6-6, two blocks. He had a good look and he missed it. My problem was the bad possessions down the stretch in that Boston game. I understand what hurt. We weren't supposed to lose that damn game. You up 6 with 2 minutes left. Play smart basketball. Get great possessions. They weren't getting great possessions. And a problem in the two wins before that, they're not playing defense. And I get you're hurt. You don't have the bodies. But defense is, I'll have to say, 85% effort. These niggas weren't even trying. They were getting whatever the fuck they want. And that's the problem that this team has right now. Now, they're also getting hit with a bit of bad luck. They got the injury bug right now, you know. And Billy Donovan said it perfectly. I love how Billy Donovan's like, yo, we've been having bad habits for a month now. Like, even the 9-game win streak, we said it before, them two buzzer beater games that DeMar had. We still lost both of them games. We were not playing well. We've been playing undisciplined basketball for a long time, but we've been getting away with it because the offense has been so good and because we've been playing teams, we're missing a lot of players. Let's keep it a buck. How many times have we gone to these niggas and they've been ravaged by COVID? It just is what it is. Now, you take those wins, but now you're dealing with it. And so I do think when this team will be fully healthy, they'll be ready. I don't think they're going to lose that much ground. And really, number one seed is not important to me. I don't really give a shit about the number one seed. As long as you finish with a top four seed and you got home court in the first round playoff series, that's all that matters. Brooklyn's got their mess. Milwaukee is still yet to be consistent. But Milwaukee go out there and beat the shit out of Golden State and then go fucking lose Detroit. So I got to see some consistency from Milwaukee. Philly's really heating up. Miami's heating up. But I do think the top four in the East is set. It's just going to be a matter of where it's going to be. So I think the Bulls are just going through a rough patch right now. And I also feel like Alex Caruso, his value to this team is more than just numbers. Like, he really hasn't been a part of the team in a month. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he played like one time, then he got hurt again, then he caught COVID. So he really hasn't played in a month. So once we get those guys, we'll expect to be better, but I think this is going to be a rough patch. I wouldn't be surprised if this team goes on a 6-game losing streak until they play Orlando next week. So we just got to get through the rough patch.
Yeah, no, I agree, bro. Like you said, it's just going to be how do you weather that storm until you get the rest of your guys back.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I love the fact that Billy Donovan, even through the success, he's been, you know, critical of these guys the entire season. He's like, well, we're still not defending. Like you said, on those games that they should have lost, he was saying it. Like, no, we're still not defending. We're not moving the ball enough. You know, the ball, even though, you know, DeMar, we have two of the top fourth quarter scorers, you know, we've still been stagnant, you know, on offense. And so when you have your coach recognizing that, you know, that's important because that's how you get better.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, how do we weather this storm until we get our guys back? That's going to be key.
Yep. Pretty much, man. Let's go to our next topic. Let's talk about the New York Knicks, who got absolutely lambasted tonight on Martin Luther King Day. Mikal Bridges had like almost 30 in the first fucking half. But they made a trade. They traded Kevin Knox to Atlanta for Cam Reddish. Now, of course, there's some draft picks. I don't have the exact trade in front of me, but it doesn't really matter. But the two main pieces were Kevin Knox and Cam Reddish. I want to give you the floor on this because you're in Atlanta. You've seen more Hawks games than I do. Why did Atlanta trade him? And do you think that the Knicks got a steal?
I think if they traded him because he had probably the most value in, you know, getting that first round pick back, because I thought him and Trey would be a good duo. Especially with the way Trey tries to pass the ball, even though a lot of the offense lately has become just Trey dribbling in the air out of the fucking basketball. So I was really kind of surprised by the trade, but I feel like they felt like that value as far as getting back a first round pick, Reddish was that guy that was going to get that because Hunter's been hurt. Collins has the huge contract, you know, so it's not too many other guys that you can move to get that type of asset back. And so, and I think this is actually a steal for the Knicks, right? Because Cam Reddish is a player, G. Like, he just has to get the opportunities. He's been hurt the last couple seasons. But, you know, this season when he has played, he's shown flashes. I remember we won the game, but he lit the Bulls up. Like, the game down here in Atlanta. So, you know, bro can really hoop. And it's really, you know, even coming out of Duke, I think, you know, because he didn't play well or he, you know, in that system, he didn't get a chance to really show his skill set. So a lot of people have been low on him. But, like, given the opportunity, I think bro's going to be a real good player. And, you know, putting him back with RJ, I think that'll pump some life into that Knicks offense, and that's what they really need him for more than anything.
Yeah, I think Cam Reddish is the biggest, one of the biggest. He has one probably the high, one of the most high potentials out of anybody in the NBA. I really think he has the tools to maybe kind of be like a Paul George light. You know what I'm saying? Like, he has those tools. Now, he hasn't been playing great this year. He's had his moments where he's looked good. You know, he gave the Bulls 30 one night, and, you know, but I like the trade for the Knicks, though. I think the upside is there. I think it's a risky. It's not even really a risk. It's fucking Kevin Knox. Let's keep it a buck. Kevin Knox ain't been doing shit. Like, What I didn't understand is Atlanta selling house? Like, they selling the farm?
Yeah,
like,
that's another thing that makes you wonder, because they said everybody would trade and Capella are available. So it's like,
Capella being untouchable is hilarious, but
yeah, that's pretty wild out of all the people on your team. But I think that happened because John Collins made the comments he made.
Yeah.
Had he not, you know, voiced his frustrations with the offense, he probably would have been one of the untouchables because you just signed him. So,
and then I think they said Nate McMillan said that Cam wanted out. So that, that was part of it too. So
okay.
But
so Cam saw the writing on the wall. He knew
Cam saw the writing on the wall. And the Hawks are the biggest frauds out there right now. It's like that. It's like that. That video I be seeing on Twitter of Shorty. I don't know what fucking reality show is. Like, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. That's the Atlanta Hawks. A lot of them niggas were talking finals, and I picked the Atlanta Hawks finish top four. So I'm not.
You picked Trae Young to be MVP.
I did. You picked Paul George. We're both wrong.
He got hurt though. He got hurt.
That's true. That's true. But still, MVP was a stretch. Yeah. But they just look, if that is the issue, then they're gonna be one of the teams that's just gonna just sell the whole shit then. You know, just if you're gonna get rid of him, just sell the whole shit. But for the Knicks, it's still gonna be a like probably like a minute before we see Cam with him because he still got the ankle injury. I was actually at the game that Cam got hurt when they played the Clippers last Sunday when Cam got hurt. He left like within the first quarter. I remember I was coming back from the media room. I was like, damn, this nigga hurt already? Like the fuck? So I didn't actually see the injury, but Tibbs said he's gonna be out a while that they saw from his physical. So it's gonna be a minute. It's gonna be a minute for them. But I will say RJ Barrett, I was never high on. I called him Canadian Marshawn. No, Maple Marshawn Brooks. That's what it was. Maple Marshawn Brooks. He's been over. He's been looking good. Now whether this continues or not, it's the Knicks. You can't put anything down on the Knicks. They're like a worse version of the Dallas Cowboys, which I cannot wait to get into.
Oh my god,
the Dallas fucking Cowboys. But
Dakota Cousins in the building.
Oh, and nigga, Black Stafford.
He's weak ass.
Black Stafford. But yeah, man, I think it's a good trade for the Knicks, man. And you don't say that much with those guys. But let's talk about this MVP race, man, because I feel like this was Steph's to lose for a minute, and I don't feel that way anymore. I feel like we have a legit MVP battle going on right now. Now, I still think, you know, you could call Steph the favorite. You know, he's been playing like hot ass since them cup allegations dropped. But
yeah,
it's not the shade room, and we won't get into that. Right. But
the real life, dog.
Right. But, you know, Ja Morant, Ja's looking good.
Yeah.
Ja, right now, I am starting the Ja for MVP campaign. They are 9-1 in their last – I mean, they're 10-1 in their last 11. They have been – actually, no, they're 11-1. I forgot. They're on 11-game win streak. 11-1 until Luka served them niggas, which was bound to happen. You're eventually going to fucking lose.
Yeah.
And by the way, as much as I love Ja, if you ask me who – I've been seeing this question. Who would you rather have over 10 years? It's Luka. It's Luka. Like, I love Ja, but it's Luka. Luka played with some bum-ass niggas. I do not like that Dallas roster. But anyway – Ja's my MVP right now. If they can finish with a top three seed in the Western Conference, I think you gotta give it to him. Steph already has two. Giannis got back to back. He got two. DeMar is good, but DeMar's not gonna do enough to win, especially in playing like shit since Zach has been out. You know, I got my eyes on you, nigga. That kind of, you know, taste it. I think Ja is who we need to be talking about more. You know, and Giannis is coming back into Embiid. Embiid is hooping and nobody is talking about it.
Yeah.
Nobody gives
a fuck. And it's insane.
He is hooping. And I think it is terrible what Daryl Morey's doing. Just let that fucking Australian nigga go. Get whatever you can because you're wasting a year of Embiid's prime. You know, this nigga likes to stay hurt. So there's different options. I will pick Ja right now. Who would you give it to? Right now, who you think has a leg up in this new MVP race?
No, I'd agree. Right now, especially with all of the injuries, it's still Steph to lose, but Ja is definitely climbing the ladder a lot faster than everybody else. I was looking at the Suns, looking at their roster because they're, you know, 33-8.
Yeah.
But they really play a lot of team basketball, so you're not going to see Chris Paul win MVP giving you 13-9 a night. That's just not going to happen. So you could really eliminate the Suns. Like we said, Steph is Steph, and Embiid. I think Embiid would round out that four. But you definitely got to keep your eye on Ja Morant as the Grizzlies continue to climb. Because right now they're 30-15, and it's going to be interesting to see where they end up at the end of the season. Because Utah was playing well, but you know they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And, you know, like we just said, even, you know, a few weeks back, we said the Hawks, you know, when people started getting hurt, like, you know, they could look up and be out of the playoff. And now you look and they're out of the play-in. You feel me? So we'll see where Memphis ends up. But, you know, as they continue to climb, you got to keep your eye on Ja.
Yeah, definitely, man. I love Ja because did you see how he made mug that kid?
Yeah.
And by the way, amazing marketing to Memphis Grizzlies with the free jersey, free ticket thing. Awesome. I love to see that, man. But yeah, I'll definitely roll with Ja.
That's my kind of petty right there. I love it.
I love it. You know, we come from the school of Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. Like, I like shit like that. And this is a little side note as far as talk about niggas who are petty like that. I was watching this. Joe Montana has a new documentary on Peacock. It's like a 6-part documentary. You know, Joe Montana don't talk. And of course, we know Tom Brady got his little last dance thing. Tonight is the last episode. And I will say this about both of those. I've really enjoyed Brady's, which is called Man in the Arena. And I actually thought Joe Montana, I watched the first 3 episodes, has been good so far. This is why I'm against these long, this is the reason why I'm against these long documentaries for every fucking play and why I only worked for Michael Jordan. I love Brady. Top 5 favorite athlete ever.
Right.
I don't need a 10-part special from this nigga. Just don't. Like, the Joe Montana thing is interesting to me because, you know, I only know so much about Montana, and it's only 6 parts. So it's, and these are like 45-minute episodes, so it's digestible. But that nigga has a personality of a rock. So let's just keep it a buck. Joe Montana has a personality of a rock. Tom Brady has a personality, but it's like he's still kind of robotic at the same time. Yeah. Michael Jordan is, first of all, there's no superstar in sports like Michael Jordan. And Dwayne Wade said people eventually forget Michael Jordan and go talk.
That was the dumbest shit I heard.
That was some dumb shit to ever. People still bring up Will Chamberlain and shit like that. And none of them niggas was a star that Jordan was. Like, Jordan was you can't even call that nigga a mega star. Like, he's like some other shit.
I mean, he was up there with Michael Jackson. That's the only way you can explain it.
I don't think you young niggas understand. I got to break it down for y'all niggas. This nigga Michael Jackson called Michael Jordan in the middle of the 1992 playoffs and said, can you be in this music video for me? Mike said, I usually don't do appearances during the playoffs unless it's golfing or gambling, because we know how that nigga does. He stopped during the Eastern Conference Finals and did a video with Michael Jackson. So this is on a nigga's another level of celebrity. You got kids out here, little fucking kids wearing Jordans. They've never seen this nigga hoop. They know who he is. I've seen kids who like 1920, Michael Jordan's a GOAT. You don't know. You've never seen Wizards Jordan. But right. They just know. So that comment by fucking Dwayne Wade was ridiculous. And to back to my documentary thing, Jordan has the personality. Jordan is this mythical figure. Like, it's honestly unfair for a LeBron or anybody because you're competing with a ghost. You can't even measure up to what he is. And Last Dance is so great because we've never seen that story be told. Like, it's been 20-something years. We've never heard Mike talk about this. We've never heard any of these type of incidents. The social media wasn't around. We know about Spygate. We live Spygate. We live Deflategate. There's nothing from this documentary that I didn't know already. You know, if I wasn't a Brady stan, I probably wouldn't have watched that shit.
Yeah.
And I love Derek Jeter. I don't need a 9-part Derek Jeter documentary.
At all. But those are the documentaries that are really disappointing. When you are a really huge fan of somebody and they don't tell you shit new.
Yeah.
Like, it was a string of Allen Iverson documentaries. And like, I was so disappointed because like, it was like 2 of them was cold and the rest was like, all right, y'all just repeating the same shit we already know.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Like, I will say I enjoy the Montana thing. I'm a documentary head, nigga. I watch any documentary about pretty much anything, but I don't want this to become a trend. I knew that was going to happen when Last Dance came out and how successful it was. We don't need this to be a trend, dog. Like, I Joe Montana's cool. I like it. But the nigga ain't got no personality, bro. It's like, I didn't need 6 parts of this. You could have gave me this in 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, I just went on a little tangent, but that's all it is. We're going to wrap this up with our power rankings, man. I'm going with my top 5, start it off. Number 5, I'm going to Cleveland Cavaliers. They've been finding way on my list lately. They've been out here playing some good ball, man. Beating the team. They just beat the shit out of Utah this week. If I'm not mistaken, let me check the score right now. I think they serve in Brooklyn right now. Let me check. And Kyrie Sebi is playing today. Actually, it's a tie game. But they're in it with Brooklyn. Darius Garland. Darius Garland's been great. I love what they're getting. They're just a big team. This is a team, Vanderbilt, I don't want to play in the playoffs just because of their size. And they're going to make things difficult for the Bulls if they have to have to play them. They're going to make things difficult for anybody. So I'm put them in number five. Number four, I'm going to put Phoenix. Phoenix starting to get everybody back. You know, they got Aiden healthy to get everybody back. And, you know, they're on a little three-game win streak. Done pretty well, 7-3 out of their last 10. That number one seed in the West, I think they're going to be able to build off that with the injury problem that the Warriors are having right now. Now, Devin Booker, though, get the fuck out of here with telling that Raptor to move, though. Like, nigga, like, first of all, use a nigga, we ain't fouling.
Yeah, we ain't playing. We ain't double teaming. We ain't double teaming
and
running on our game.
And now you know what's more annoying? You're in an empty arena because Toronto's not allowing fans right now. You're in an empty arena and you were about to fucking mascot. Get the fuck out of here, Devin Booker. But anyway, number three, I'm going with Miami. Miami, I'm going to keep telling niggas, do not sleep on this team. I don't think enough people are talking about Miami Heat as a legit threat to come out the East. These boys, this is a quintessential Pat Riley team. They play hard. They defend. Jimmy Butler's a dog. Kyle Lowry is tested. They're getting Bam back in a week or two. And they've held the fort with even all those injuries. And right now, they're number three in the East. And they've been playing really, really good. Just lost to Philly the other night. But I'm going with them number three. Number two, of course, Memphis. Memphis drops the spot for me after they got served by Dallas. But I love everything I'm seeing from that team. Jai's great. They're just a deep team. And I really think that, you know, just going to keep building it. Number one, I got to go with the Sixers, man. Sixers not on their last 10. Embiid is hooping. They just beat Miami, a healthy Miami. And, I'm not saying that we got to pay more attention to them because unless they get something for Ben, I still don't really think playoff time is going to matter that much. But as far as what I'm seeing on a weekly basis, Philly's really stepping up to the plate, man.
Yeah, no, definitely. We got the same teams, a little bit of different mix. I got the Heat at number five. I got Phoenix at four as well. I got let me scroll down. I got the Mavericks. I actually got Dallas at number three. 8-2 in their last 10 games. They won two in a row. And I really don't, like I said, I really don't like that roster.
I don't like the roster. Shout out to Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, JB, he's trying to get, they said he won 4 years, $80 million this offseason.
Shout out to bro.
Yeah. But like you said, Luka's, you know, getting in shape. He talked about coming into the season out of shape. So I think this is a team that as the season goes on, you're going to see Luka get better.
Yeah.
So I got them at number three. I have Philly at two, and I have Memphis at number one. I still think even though, you know, they lost that game, but what Memphis has been doing is really, really dope to see.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's all we got for y'all today, man. You know, everything dropping this week. Third pick will be back this week. Me and Mariano will attempt to take Bulls fans off the ledge. Summer Sessions will be back this week. Me and Dante, we're actually about to record our Euphoria pod. This, that'll be up on the Patreon by the time you're listening to this. And then we'll be back next week, man. Talk more hoops. We're getting closer and closer to the All-Star break. Yeah, man. So you know to follow us on Twitter at Barbershare Scott, at October's on Tay. Follow the Barbershare Network on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Net. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. And we'll holler at y'all next week.